North America. The mothership has connected from Carolina to Florida, Boston to Florida, Kalamazoo to Waterloo. Wait, are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
It's a thirsty Thursday. It's Mraz. It's Bogish. Billy Jacalone and Pat Boyle with us on the other side today. The summer of D.A. continues here. I think he might have been at Wrigley Field last night to watch the Mets lose to the Cubs, although I didn't see any Instagrams of beef hot dogs. All I've seen is flowers.
Yeah, I mean, I've bit my tongue long enough on this, Sean. This is day three now. Can someone tell me what's, like, I didn't even know this was happening. And then Monday, like, oh, it's me and you tomorrow. And now it's Thursday, and it's still me and you. And now Bilotti's gone. So is anybody in charge here? My microphone thing came out of the desk.
It's crazy.
You're half asleep. What is going on here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I knew DA was taking off, but apparently, I guess he didn't let management know the rest of the staff know. So you had only found out Monday. And then, like, DA just tell the listener, oh, I'm going to be out Tuesday. I mean, so he's on vacation. He took a vacation. I'm pretty sure he went to Wrigley. But yeah, so you got us the rest of the week. We'll be here again tomorrow. And then we head for Memorial Day weekend. As we know, the saying goes, days to burn, folks. And when you have days to burn, why let anybody know?
Speaking of that, I'm not coming tomorrow.
Yeah?
That's it.
You got days to burn?
I got a day to burn. Tomorrow I'm burning it.
I had an approximate arrival at home time of 12:50 after a nice Yankee rain delay and then a batting around seventh by the Orioles last night.
Mm-hmm.
So if my voice sounds a little hoarse, understand that I am on probably 2.5 hours sleep, I think is conservative, what we will say. I will recap my night at Yankee Stadium at some point. Pat Boyle is with us on the other side. He's already hosted an overnight show locally on WFAN. So when we make the jokes about hard hat guys, we are here doing morning radio, two of us on literally no sleep.
Well, and Boyle is an actual hard hat guy. He worked overnight. You were being gluttonous with your dad attacking Yankee executives in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
You had fun late night. Boyle's been meandering through calls from random Long Island residents angry about the Mets and Yankees for 5 hours.
And we're going to get to, obviously, the Florida Panthers and Canadian Bacon winning late with Tkachuk. Let's see if Patty Boyle in the 9:20 a.m., 6:20 a.m. Pacific block comes up with anything good for Canadian Bacon.
Did you say, Bogues, did you say Sean and his dad were double-teaming Yankee executives?
I didn't say double-teaming.
Well, there's no NBA game we necessarily have to lead with, but we will get to the Celtics seat. I will just tell you right now. Yes, last night, I had a pair of company seats, okay? Company was fortunate enough. I pulled a Schwartz. I had some tickets. So I took my dad to the game. Beautiful night until 10 minutes before first pitch when the tarp came on and a monsoon hit when it was unexpected at Yankee Stadium last night. So we get club passes, right? So Bob with the cane helps. First of all, on the way in, he makes sure to stop not at the regular store of the team shop. The guy with the beer pong table plopped open to get himself an Anthony Rizzo t-shirt, and he doesn't like fitted hats, had to get the snapback hat. $10 each, $20, to said it was a great deal. We got a beer before the game. It was nice. We had a good time. We go up like a fancy elevator to a club, and they're holding the elevator up, and who walks in? Yankee executive Randy Levine, who is like a Steinbrenner. He waves a couple of us in. My dad goes in, you know, Thurman Munson t-shirt on, the sweatshirt on.
You guys are dressed like grounds crew members.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And he took a shot, looked over at Randy Levine. So, he says, we're going to DFA Josh Donaldson soon. As only my dad can.
Yes.
As only my dad can.
Now, is Randy Levine aware of who you are?
No. No, we were just, because, you know, regular fans could go up there. You have passes or your tickets to go. And it was like the suite level. But I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? But he liked it. By the way, Yankee executive Randy Levine, DA would hate this, basically wearing like a wrinkled Old Navy button-down and jeans. No suit.
And he's the most important non-Steinbrenner, is he not?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So we had that last night.
Yeah, but
so,
I get it. Those are two businessmen. Your dad has a burgeoning bar, you know, monopoly of Long Island, and Randy Levine runs the Yankees.
Yes.
They live in similar circles.
Yes. And we will get to plenty more from the rest of the night. Plus, I don't understand how my dad doesn't use a bathroom once from the time we leave the house until the time we get home. Is your dad like this? Is Bob Bocas like this?
He's the opposite of you. You can't stop going, and your dad doesn't go at all.
I actually got into an argument with him before we got in the car. I said, Dad, the time we left my house at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it is now midnight. Okay, we sat through a rain delay and everything. You didn't use a bathroom once. Are you wearing a diaper? I don't understand.
Right. And if I'm being respectful of your dad, he's not eating a handful of peanuts and drinking water this whole time.
No, look, he's not a fat slob like me, but last night we had meatloaf burgers from a LaBelle Steakhouse stand. And we split like this chicken finger, Chickie and Pete's crab fry bucket.
Right.
Yeah.
And a couple of beers, right?
A couple of beers. You should urinate.
At least that.
And
yes.
He did not. He
no,
did not.
So to answer your question, my dad is more of a sleeper than a bathroom guy. He would have nodded off somewhere like the sixth inning of that game.
My dad did not nod off, but I got this when the tarp was on and it got to like a half an hour into the rain delay. So figured 7:30. Now remember, these pace of play games.
Right.
Put it this way. The Yankee game was in the second inning and you saw a bunch of finals from all the games that started at 7 o'clock. That's how quick the games usually are. My dad uttered these words a half an hour into the rain delay. Jeez, what time are we going to get home tonight? I'm the one on a microphone at 6 a.m. The earliest he may have to wake up is for some toast, and Price is Right at 11. But was very concerned. Very concerned. But we had a nice night. We did have a nice night. Yankees lost. We'll get to more of that throughout the night, including, as I tweeted, listen, a big issue with the ice cream game now at baseball stadiums. A big issue. But tonight, somebody out there might be taking their dad to a memorable moment in Boston. The series is 3-1. We head back to the Lucky Leprechaun building. Will the Celtics begin to conjure memories of the 2004 Red Sox? Meaning, is tonight, despite a game six back at home, a can't lose for the Miami Heat? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Now we just got to go win another. It's all that matters. You know, we take it one game at a time. You know, we understand, you know, the odds are stacked against us. But we're a team that believes in us no matter what, and we just got to keep going, and all that matters is the next game.
The way it's been the majority of the season, and so I think that's important. And then just have an understanding is, like, we can't relax. You know, we have to keep the same level of intensity, the same mindset, same focus for the next game.
And they're desperate. Like I said, the backs are against the wall, so, you know, they're going to play desperate. They're going to try to figure out ways to, you know, to disrupt our game flow. But, you know, the biggest thing about us, we got to retaliate.
If anything, it'll build momentum for us, knowing that we have to play with a lot more energy. And, you know, we got to play like our backs are against the wall. But I think all year long we've been better and ready to do things the hard way.
You know, we always said the last one to get is the hardest one to get. And now we got to finish business in Boston.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right, those voices you heard, Marcus Smart, Joe Mazzulla, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and just Bam, no last name there, and just according to my cut sheet. All right, here we go. To Boston we go tonight, a game number 5. Marcus Smart said it. We talked about this yesterday. Don't let us get one. Don't let us get one. Well, they got one. Now they come back home. Look, in past NBA series, when this situation has arose, the team that has led 3-0 is 150-0. In fact, only 3 times, I believe, Bogus, you were the one that said this, has the series got to a Game 7.
Even getting a Game 6 is hard in the NBA in this scenario.
But something interesting happened over the last 24 hours. Not that I'm telling you guys all to go out and bet on the series, but almost an absurd bad price if you wanted to bet the Celtics, a plus 250 euros in the books. Plus 250 on the Celtics to win the series. Now, they're down 3-1 now, trying to accomplish something nobody in NBA history has ever done. But yet the odds makers seem to be trying to protect themselves a little bit, which tells you, man, are we live here? Are we really live like we highlighted yesterday? And if we are, it's not as if the Miami Heat have a true home court advantage where you go there and the crowd is rocking. I mean, let's be honest. Mike McDaniel's there in sweatpants firing up a crowd before a game. It's not exactly like walking into old Oracle. So I know they will get the protection of a Game 6 at home, and then anything can happen Game 7. So there's plenty of wiggle room in theory. But, folks, you don't want to start feeling the pressure and hearing the whispers of, are you really going to blow a 3-0 lead? Meaning, did the Heat have to finish this off tonight? Is this a can't lose?
It's a fair question. And I feel like this is maybe the scenario best designed for our gotta have it, can't lose, you should win this scale.
Because it's definitely a must win for the Celtics.
No doubt about that. That's the easy part of it. It's how do we put the label, which label, on the Heat for this Game 5 in Boston with Game 6 back in their building. I'm going to trust Jimmy Butler. I'm going to trust Eric Spoelstra. I'm going to trust the Miami crowd, as limited as it may be. Those three focal points combined, I can't call this one tonight. I can't call it a can't lose. It's a nice to have game to me for the Heat.
A nice to have.
Yeah, but they'd be okay.
Nice to have.
Generally speaking, they'd be okay going back home for Game 6 on Saturday.
A nice to have Game 5. Okay, well, if that's the case, would Game 6 be a can't lose for the Miami Heat?
Absolutely. Can't be in a Game 7 back in Boston having lost three games in a row. So we make a big jump, almost a historic jump. Nice to have it to can't lose. You don't normally go from that one to the next one in one game's time, but that's how fast this would turn with a Celtic win tonight.
All right, so we'll go around the room here. Bogus is declaring Game 5 a nice to have it moment for the Heat. I'm going to declare it a gotta have it. I don't think you must win it. I don't think you can't lose it, but you got to kind of have it, don't you? Boyle, what is this?
Well, can we look at it from the Celtics' perspective?
We've already decided that.
It's a must win.
It's a must win. Yeah. So for the Heat, Game 6, full agreement with Bogus, Game 6 is a can't lose. Game 5 tonight in Boston, up 3-1. What are the options outside of nice to have and got to have?
It's can't lose or must win. You got to pick four, one of the four.
I'm going to say it's a must win then, because Game 6 is a can't lose.
So they must win tonight.
Must win tonight. Can't lose Game 6.
So it's a must-win game for both teams tonight.
I hate your terminology with this. For me, can't lose is the worst-case scenario. You can't lose. They can't lose Game 6.
Okay.
But I also don't think they must win Game 5.
Well, then, is it just simply a gotta-have-it or a nice-to-have-it?
I would say it's a gotta-have-it.
All right. So you're with me then in the end. Billy, is it a gotta-have-it, nice-to-have-it, can't lose, or a must-win tonight for the Heat?
I think for the Heat is a, excuse me, nice to have it. I'm a nice to have it, yeah.
Yep.
All right. So we got two nice to have it's, two gotta have it's. And that's your poll question today. What is tonight for the Heat? A must win, a can't lose, a nice to have it, or a gotta have it? All right?
Well, you flipped it. It's must win, can't lose, gotta have it, nice to have it.
Yeah.
Nice to have it's the least. That's like DEFCON 1 or 5. We've done this before, too.
Yeah.
Where you start on the DEFCON list. But that's the least dangerous scenario.
A nice to have.
Shawnee, if you think about it, the odds for the Celtics plus 250 to win the series, it doesn't sound that insane if you think about it.
It does. It's 150. It's never happened.
No, but I know. But if you calculate, I got a parlay calculator built up here.
On the winning the next couple games?
Correct. So tonight they're what? Minus 460 on the money line or minus 400?
I didn't look at tonight's spreads.
I know that they're laying 7.5. I saw that.
I will be taking the Heat with the points tonight.
You're going to take the Heat?
With the points. I'm not taking a money line. That's a lot of points for the series.
Okay, don't you think that's what Vegas wants you to do, is take the points in Miami?
Yes, they also wanted you to take the points with Miami in Game 2, and you did, and you won.
Correct. All right, so tonight, Boston's actually only minus 305. So they're minus 305 as an 8-point favorite.
By the way, for those who don't understand gambling, that means to win $100, you have to bet 305
up. Exactly. You have to bet three times just to get one in one back. Okay, so let's say they win. Game 6 going back to Miami. In Game 3, they were a 4.5-point favorite, which is about minus 150.
Yep.
Game 5, though, they were plus 100. They were even. It was basically a pick-em. Miami was a 1-point favorite. If Boston wins 2 in a row and gets back to Miami Game 6, I can almost assure you Boston is going to be a small favorite in that one. Let's say minus 135. That's about a 2.5-point favorite.
So, Pat, not to throw too many numbers on you, I get what you're saying. Every game Boston wins, they will continue to be favorites. So
And it goes back. If they go back to Game 7, they're going to be minus basically 400 favorites. You calculate those three, that's only plus 188 odds if you parlay those three results.
So I get what you're saying. If you just parlay those three results, you're getting a better number at plus 50. But I think this is one of those rare things in the gambling world where you have to almost not look at it at an individual game basis and just think about the historical aspect.
I hear you.
If you're betting on something that has never happened in the history of the league, you should be getting better odds than plus 250 overall.
Well, I mean, again,
which means you're not, which tells you the books think this is very live to happen.
And how many times do you say to yourself, wow, I can't believe I'm getting these odds?
Yeah. I wouldn't be saying that now. I think 250 is not a good enough price for me to get back.
Either one of you guys know what the number was before game four to bet on them to rally from 3-0 down?
It's a good question. My guess is it probably was like plus 650 or something like that.
Well, if I add these three, plus oh, they God, were geez, plus
we're
100.
Yeah, calculated. I mean, enough.
They were probably plus 600, plus 600,
yeah,
plus 700.
All right. That was riveting.
What do you mean it was riveting? I'm giving you like the calculated odds of what it should be versus what it is.
I know. You're right.
It's nice to have. You don't got to have it.
It's a nice to have it stat. 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Also, I know we were going to touch on this in Canadian Bacon, but I do think hockey is worthy of a conversation for a minute or two. What an unbelievable four-game series the Eastern Conference Final was. And I think hockey, if you don't care, you don't care, and that's fine. I understand if you didn't grow up watching hockey and it's too hard for the puck to fly. I've heard all the arguments. But hockey, I think last night again proved they are the rare sport where a four or five game series could be thrilling. Whereas we were talking about, you know, was Denver Lakers really that thrilling in a sweep? You had a four overtime game,
yeah,
an overtime game, and last night.
And a 1-0 game.
A 1-0 game. And last night, the Florida Panthers punched their first trip to a Stanley Cup since 1996 with a goal with 4.7 seconds left. And that goal is scored by Matthew Tkachuk, who scored the four overtime winner and the game winner in overtime, scores this one with 4.7 seconds left. And last year, the Florida Panthers were the President's Trophy winners, the best record in hockey. They lose and get eliminated. Their big deadline, I mean, their big offseason move, stealing their star, Jonathan Huberdeau, and acquiring Matthew Tkachuk, who a year later, the Panthers don't have as good a regular season. They're the last team in the Eastern Conference. As an 8 seed, they make the Stanley Cup because their acquired four superstar scores three unbelievable goals on the Florida freaking Panthers. The last team in that beat the Boston Bruins are in the Stanley Cup.
The three game winners and the primary assist on the only goal in the 1-0 game three.
Incredible. Just incredible.
And guaranteed that we're going to come back from 3-1 against Boston in the first round.
So to put that in context, imagine your team in any sport having the best record in the sport, being so agitated, trying to figure out what they're going to do in the offseason, and they decide they're going to trade the best player. They trade the best player on the team that just had the best record, and they acquire another good, really good player, star player. And then that star player has you in a regular season that's not nearly as good. You get in as the last team in, but then it's the hero that gets you to a Stanley Cup. I mean, that's pretty freaking incredible.
It's remarkable. And they only got in, not even just like getting in by themselves. They needed the terrible Chicago team to beat Pittsburgh, who was fighting for their playoff life, too. They were ahead of the Panthers, second to last game of the season. Chicago blitzed them. Penguins out, Panthers in. So the Blackhawks have their hands on this as well. But Matthew Tkachuk has been just ridiculous.
So to put it in context, right, the Bucks are a perfect example of this. Let's say the Bucks were to trade Giannis this offseason. He's their best player, okay? And they trade him to the Cavs for Donovan Mitchell. I think this is the best way I could compare this. Then the Bucks next year in the play-in become the 8 seed in the NBA playoffs. Then they steamroll a historically great, let's say, Celtic team in the first round. They get through round two, and in round three, the conference final, they sweep, and they hit essentially three buzzer beaters all by Donovan Mitchell to make the NBA finals. That is what just happened with the Florida Panthers. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And they will, of course, await the winner of the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. You could get two sweeps. But by the way, the NHL won't sit around and wait 9 days to start their Stanley Cup. They'll give it a couple days and get things moving. All right, when we come back, your best audio of the day, including some moment from After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We were all here early, took part in her annual Chubby Bunny contest. At least me and Pat Boyle did. Who would be the winner? How would it unfold? We'll clip that if you missed it. It's The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, and we see your calls coming in at 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to them in just a moment, but first, sound check. Kyrie Irving on his Instagram says, keep my mother bleeping name at your mother bleeping mouth.
Stop mentioning me on Twitter. All y'all fan bases, stop mentioning me right now, please. It is still the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. Denver's going to the finals. You know, we're still waiting for Boston and Miami. Can y'all please leave me the fuck out of this? Please, can I just be with my family in peace? Y'all got people at my dinner table discussing what my free agency plans are. Stop that. Y'all think it's funny shit, but please stop that. I actually like having peace of mind when I'm at the crib, all right? Like, I see all y'all ads. I see all y'all mentions. Okay, I said it. I see all y'all stuff y'all be saying. I see all y'all families. I get it. I'm just as excited as y'all are. But you gotta chill, though. Come on, like, we can have some fun with it, but, like, the love is already there, right? The message is spread. I appreciate your ancestral run. Thank you for being tapped in. And I appreciate all y'all for tuning in. But please, all y'all fan bases, like, stop mentioning me just for, like, the next month or two or three. Whenever I make my decisions, please stop mentioning me.
I mean, first of all, whenever I make it, how about the teams? Are we even sure how many teams are going on a bidding war? And have I seen anybody other than we talk about the Lakers with LeBron? Who are these fan bases mentioning this? He wants this so bad.
He's been at multiple Laker games with everyone knowing that we assume LeBron wants him to be there, that he might want to be there. Now he's on Instagram asking you to watch him tell you to stop talking about him while he's talking about him. Let you in on the secret that he sees all your mentions, which is probably going to fuel people to write more things. Like, oh, now Kyrie's reading this stuff. He could have just been quiet. And he mentions his dinner table. If his mom or his aunt or his siblings are asking him questions about this, that's not on me.
Right. Don't make an Instagram telling everybody else your dinner table. Right. I tell you, Kyrie's.
Thanks, Sean. I opened the show with this question. I'll ask it again. What is going on around here? Is anyone in charge? We had last week Ryan Hickey reviewing peanut butter snacks.
Yep.
And now we've gone even further. Up, down, sideways, I don't know. This is Hickey in the shower. This is a bit on the Gelb show. It's called All Shower, No Cap. Going on around here?
Okay.
Welcome into a brand new segment debuting right here called Shower, No Cap. Like most people, my best thoughts come in the shower, so I figured, let's just go give them to you right now. Why wait any longer? One of my thoughts, for today at least, is this. Why is there momentum for the Celtics after avoiding the sweep in Miami yesterday? Like, if you are someone right now that believes all of a sudden the Celtics are a dangerous team in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Heat should be worried, why? Why? I don't see it. This is no big deal whatsoever if you are Miami. And honestly, if you're the Heat, you got to feel good going into game number 5.
No big deal. Why is he in the shower? And there's video of this. He's filming himself shirtless in the shower, water running, doing this.
Ryan Hickey's a sex symbol, man. Well, you can't stop him once he gets on the road.
So, counterpoint. I like the bit.
You do.
I think there's an idea there. In the shower, shower thoughts. I kind of like the bit. Here's the problem. Ryan Hickey was a sex symbol, was a heartthrob, CBS Sports Radio, until you realize that he oddly has unproportionately patched chest hair. Now that we've learned.
That's your takeaway.
His upper right chest hair rides up a little bit. It's not even on the left. He just looks a little odd, and he goes plaid shower curtain. I find that a little troubling as well. So I think the idea about having takes in the shower is kind of a funny one. It's kind of original. But if you're going to do that, it becomes a little too revealing for me.
Now, are you a chest shaver? I know your back, you got to shave. You have to shave your chest. No.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Let's see it. Pop it up.
I walked into that.
That's like a baby's ass.
It's like actually a little prickly. Asses. I need a refresher.
So is it possible that Hickey doesn't shave his chest and that's why things are uneven at the top?
Perhaps. Yeah, mine's very even, although I shave. Yeah, maybe that is right. But you know what? I got news for you. If his best takes are having in the shower, doesn't say much about that overnight show, huh?
Look out.
Wow.
Just, if I may for a second.
Billy liked that one.
Yeah. Intervene.
I gotta just tell when I got Billy on a good laugh.
that's connected to our third clip. Caserta just took the microphone cover that I think Boyle spit marshmallow chunks on. So I'd stop touching that, and I wouldn't talk into it.
Pewter's in here. Where are they?
That's a fair question.
Oh, they removed all the desktops yesterday.
So we don't
know. No, it's here on the floor. Because again, what's going on around here? Our computer is literally laying on the floor.
This is ridiculous.
So don't you need the computer to do an update, Caserta?
He does. It would be nice to have it.
Billy's going to play my sound on this one, and then I'll rig the desktop up again. But, you know, why would we need computers for a radio show?
Those were probably moved for the Chubby Bunny competition.
The disrespect.
All right, we'll get to that after the sound check.
About Chubby Bunny.
So Chubby Bunny. For those of you who don't know what a Chubby Bunny is, no, it's not me with ears. The Chubby Bunny. The Chubby Bunny is when you. By the way, I love the pizza. I could just have as many puns as I want without Jonathan D'Souza here.
Morty D'Souza.
Morty.
We'll discuss this, Billy, in the break. Don't worry.
When you take marshmallows and you put them in your mouth, or it's like a contest, put a marshmallow in your mouth, say Chubby Bunny. Then, you know, you keep putting a marshmallow, and the last one standing with the most marshmallows in their mouth wins. So this morning.
And then it can clearly still say Chubby Bunny. Yes.
Last year, I think I ate four. It's not eating, it's chewing. I put four in my mouth. James Bocciani won with 6.5. This year, Patty Boyle got into the contest. Billy Jocalone filmed it. At some point, it's going to be on, I guess, the After Hours page. Bogus emceed it. This all happened a little over an hour ago. Well, here we go. Here's some of the highlights.
Seven seems to take an
Don't
adjustment.
Don't laugh, Jay. Don't laugh. If you laugh, you'll lose it.
Uh-oh. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Chubby Bunny.
Wow.
Amy, you gotta judge that one for me.
Jay, you gotta try again. Oh, Jay, you gotta try.
Let's go.
Is everybody out?
There's
Sean. I can't see Sean. Is Sean dying, hopefully?
Medic.
Wait, Pat. No, don't make Pat laugh.
I'll do an
eight. Something funny.
Wow. Wow.
Can you please stop now before you throw up?
No, you can't stop now. He's got to go for history. One more.
There it is.
He couldn't do it.
I did better than last year, though. I got seven in my mouth.
There's no white stuff on his face. He just put...
So
that's how we close?
That's how we close.
Oh, wait.
So Pat Boyle wins the Chubby Bunny because he wins at everything. We'll clap up for Pat Boyle.
Bravo.
He's the CBS Sports Radio champion at stuffing marshmallows in his mouth and, as Amy said, not having white stuff left over on his face.
And as a gentleman, he left out my line where I said another thing that Boyle is better at than Sean.
Yeah. Now here's
Canadian
the thing.
Bacon, now this.
This is an incredible year for Chubby Bunny. The record was 10. Boyle clearly got to 10, was able to get 11 in his mouth before yakking.
Which officially goes down as 10 and a half.
Right, 10 and a half. So he is the record holder of the Chubby Bunny.
With the hook.
James Bocciani won last year for, just in context, 6.5. James and I got to 7 full ones before yakking. So we even beat our own record. So all three of us would have won last year's Chubby Bunny. Amy got to 4 or 5?
Amy said a personal high of 5.
5, so it was a good year.
Yes.
Billy filmed it all. On some kind of iPad. I'm sure it'll be out at some point. But a nice, fun annual retreat, let's say. And by the way, thanks again to that Yankee rain delay last night. Another thing I had to wake up extra early for to get into was to stuff marshmallows in my mouth.
Well, so I did want to debate that. You were earlier than you normally are, but you probably were still
on time on what it should be.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Hey, how about Chris in California? Chris, you're on CBS Sports Radio. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How about you guys? You're cracking me up, man.
I appreciate it, Chris. How about you crack us up? What's up?
Well, you know, I was on with JR a couple nights ago, and I was telling him I got a 5-year-old step-granddaughter. You know, she's 100% Indonesian. My wife's Indonesian.
Yep.
Obviously, her biological granddaughter. Anyway, she's a big Joker fan. I showed her the Joker highlight package about three months ago. Just, you know, 10 top plays.
To be fair, you're talking about Nicola, not Heath Ledger, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. The Joker, yeah.
Yeah.
Denver Nuggets, the Joker.
Yeah,
anyway, So going to the Western Conference Finals, I'm like, hey, Clary, check this out. I'll take LeBron, and you got Joker. And she's like, okay, a buck on every game. I'm like, well, okay, cool. She swept me. She's 5 years old. She's 5 years old. She just wants to joke her life. But get this. She didn't win $4. She won $6.
Why?
Because going into game four, she's like, she called me up. You know, it's just family situation right now. You know, we're just talking on the phone. And she calls me up. She's like, hey, Grandpa, I'm going to give you a shot on game four, double or nothing.
A five-year-old hassling you, double or nothing?
That's exactly what she said, man. Well, that was her offer. You know, my wife called me, and she's like, here, Clary has a question for you. So I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, come on, man. So now, you know, I hate the Boston Celtics, right? Now, this is a nightmare, man. So it's 3-1 right now, right?
Yep.
Miami. Clary, her exact words were on the phone today, the Celtics will come back from an 0-3 deficit, be the first team in NBA history to do that.
What kid
is going to say come back from an 0-3 deficit 5 years old?
So you think, all right, so you think she's the whisperer. She's like that octopus that picks Super Bowl winners.
Yeah, but it's more than that. She's like scaring the hell out of me, man.
Well, I would say, you know, if there was any thoughts on gambling being an issue in the country, the fact that a five-year-old knows double or nothing.
Yeah, she's a better gambler than me already.
I mean, you know, I've had gambling issues. I've done real well, too. You know,
well, let me ask you something, Chris. Forget the gambling issues for a second. He said you were talking to JR a couple nights ago. What do you think of the JR Shep dynamic?
Those guys are, it's top tier, man. I mean, it's JR. You know, I was driving down the street about 3-4 years ago in Northern California.
Uh huh.
And I heard the dude. And I'm like, well, first of all, there's a New Yorker, you know, the three second hearing test.
Yeah.
And then he lives in Atlanta. Like a young kid. Sounds like a young cat. And on his show, it's amazing. He never talks about himself. But I got a pretty good feel for people. I can see that guy in the playgrounds, like, whipping some ass on the courts. I mean, I feel the guy. You know what I mean?
So what about Shep, though? What do you think of him?
I think he's told who is Shep. I don't know. Is that the producer or what?
That's the correct answer.
You don't know who Shep is? He's the other voice you hear on that show all the time?
He's the producer, right? The guy who answers the phone?
Yeah. Do you think he's, what do you think? He's got a knack for the business or not?
He is, like I said, top tier, man. Hey, I used to call Mad Dog Russo when he was a weekend guy on WMCA, 87, 88, right?
Uh-huh.
And he had a producer by the name of Frank Porco.
Porco?
And I just,
Frank
Porco. I just mystically heard about a year ago that he passed away. I don't even know how I heard it.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
It just like popped up somewhere. If you ask Mad Dog Russo, hey, who's your producer of WMCA when you were the weekend clown?
Frank Porco.
Yeah. And those guys came over to the Alpine and met me after a show. I called them up. We used to talk like Russo used to tell me that Burr is the greatest player of all time. This is in like 87.
At your cabin? Like,
no, I would call him from my apartment in New York.
Your apartment. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Also called him from work one time. I worked at 745 Fifth Avenue. And he's over there on Sixth Avenue at WMCA.
So you call him across the street?
Yeah. So I got off at like 6. They got off.
And
at 7,
Frank would
like,
answer the phones.
Right. And I'm like, hey Frank, what are you guys doing after the show? And
so let me ask you something so cool. before the hanging out thing. Who do you think was a better producer, Shep or Frank Porkrell?
That's a tough question, man. I can't answer it right now.
Don't ask all the tough ones.
All right. Now one more thing.
I've only experienced Shep for a short period of time.
So how often do you listen to JR, real quickly?
Every night.
So what do you think when Shep's out, what do you think of Jack Stern?
Jack Stern?
Yeah. He's the guy.
Not familiar.
No? Chris in California, what would you like to say? That guy?
Oh, dude, what's going on, man? Hey, I'm getting to know you guys today. You're cracking me up with all this analytical plus. It's hilarious. But Clary is tripping me out. Because, you know, hey, man, I don't want to get too personal or anything. But, like, I had a great 20-year relationship with my wife and my stepson. Her, you know.
Wow. And that led to the family problems with your 5-year-old granddaughter gambling.
Well, you know, I was gambling out of control. I was going to Reno, like, you know, every other week.
Biggest
I was going to
city
Reno.
In America.
But hey, I was getting comped. I'm having fun. I'm not losing a lot of money.
Chris, I'm sorry.
You're smoking weed when you're in Reno, too, I bet, right? I mean, come on. all of a sudden it flipped on me. And now my step-granddaughter, 100% Indonesian. I love her to death. She's like my granddaughter.
Glad we got her ethnicity again.
The 19-year-old, James Miracle, that's his middle name, Miracle, I raised the kid.
Oh.
I taught him how to,
Chris, listen, we're going to be up against the break, though. I do have to let you go. I'll put you on hold.
Hey, I'm sorry, producer Billy,
and tell him your life story, okay?
Just watch out for the Celtics, man.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you, man.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Sounds good. Enjoy Shep. Later. There you have Chris in California.
We could do a whole hour on that.
Dude, I think we just did a whole hour on that.
I don't even need to do an update now. This is great.
You can do an update now.
I think you should try.
All right. I'm going to get just very brief here. This first report is brought to you by HelloFresh. Shake up dinner time with HelloFresh. With 40 weekly recipe options, there's always something new to try. Get 16 free meals plus free shipping with code SKATE16 at HelloFresh.com/SKATE16.
La 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 la. La 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 la. I need to go to bed. What is going on?
Yeah, man. Oh.
Cream freeze, cafeteria freeze. La 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 freeze.
Everyone's hearing this, right?
Dad, what are you doing?
Freeze. What was that?
Randy Marsh on South Park.
What? My bad.
What's the context?
Hey, Emilio!
Was there a setup for that?
Yeah, so HelloFresh, and he did a show. He did a cafeteria show called Cafeteria Fresh.
You're doing that for sponsors?
So the Panthers are...
I'll get blamed if the show's off the rails, by the way.
The Panthers are for reals, yo. I've been on the bandwagon since the Rangers broke our hearts. Plus, my cousin is a season ticket holder, so I'd love to go down for a game.
We just had somebody else give us our life story. We don't need yours.
And now they are only 4 wins away from the Stanley Cup after another thrilling win last night over Carolina.
Reinhardt in the circle. Shot! And it's fought off by Anderson. Barkov right circle. Down to the goal line. Kachuk in front of shot. He scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time.
Doug Plagan's calling another Matthew Kachuk game winner on Panthers radio. His third of the series pushed the Panthers through with a sweep for the franchise's first trip to the Stanley Cup final since 1996.
Wow.
Who's your Conn Smythe winner if they take it home? Would it be Kachuk or goalie Sergei Bobrovsky?
I think now it has to be Kachuk, I think, after the series.
We haven't had a Bobrovsky conversation. This is perfect for the show. Did you guys read that he loses like 15 pounds a game?
Really?
Yeah, the sweat.
But I don't understand how he gains it back fast enough.
Beer.
He should be at 0 pounds by now.
Big beer drinker.
He just pounds beers on his off day?
Stoley won.
Yeah, after the game. He's renowned for being a big beer guy.
So he just drinks it right back on his frame.
Yeah, for a while they were calling beers Bobrovskis in Columbus when he was with the Blue Jackets.
Seems healthy.
Yes.
And since we have to wrap it up, the Western Conference Finals continue tonight with the Golden Knights going for the sweep in Dallas.
Must win or can't lose for Dallas.
I mean, it's got to be a can't lose.
Yeah, you can't lose that game.
Boyle?
Can't lose.
Billy?
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
All right, when we come back, are we ready to embrace the A's as a Vegas team? The A's show on CBS Sports Radio. Well, admit that they're wrong a lot. What? Admit it now.
No.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, the show has already been off the rails in the first 2 segments. You can go back and listen everywhere podcasts are available. Of course, free on the Odyssey app. I've been already alerted by an awake DA on vacation. Maybe to reset some order, he's going to be joining us at 8:20 a.m. Eastern, 5:20 a.m. Pacific. I don't know. I don't know if we're in trouble.
I didn't do anything today. I showed up. I walked in. There were marshmallows flying. Jack was yelling at your dad.
So... Yeah. Jack was not happy with my dad telling Randy Levine, you know, we should be cutting Josh Donaldson. Anyway, yeah. So, DA, now, I don't know if we're in trouble. Should we be scared?
You should be, probably.
8:20 a.m. Eastern. Great.
Think about what's happened in the first 50 minutes.
A lot. But you know what else is happening? The A's are going to Vegas. Yesterday.
Is that where D.A. is? Is he in Oakland campaigning for
maybe,
the A's?
Oh, maybe.
He might be.
He's chaining himself for the Coliseum.
He might be picket fencing. Picket fencing?
Yeah.
Picket signing?
Not D.A. D.A.'s. The A's. Yeah. How about that?
Oh.
I stumbled into that one.
Is that so?
The A's have received a tentative public finance deal from Nevada. So it looks like this is going to happen, what, on the site of the old Tropicana?
Right.
So this now looks like, with this tentative deal, once and for all, it is going to happen. So there are two parts of this. Obviously, I sympathize with the diehard, true Oakland A's fans that will be losing their team from the Bay Area. Unfortunately, your ownership absolutely sucks, which I completely agree with DA and his screed against Oakland ownership. Unfortunately, though, this is nothing new, and the A's have not drawn for a really long time. The other side of this is, in our, you know, basically knock on making the A's, you know, an Oakland-only team, kind of the Padres became, I do think there should be two sides to the show. And the other part of this is, man, Vegas, for as much as everybody calls it, and it is, it's a great travel city, it's a great vacation city, there's a lot of good diehard sports fans that it's way different than it was 20 years ago that are living there. Your blackjack dealers, think about how many jobs are in that city. People live there.
Yeah.
Forget the 40-size TV market. And they have now proven with the Golden Knights and a couple years with the Raiders. And I don't want to hear that it's only old road fans. That night crowd is as loud a hockey crowd as you can have. And the Raiders did pretty damn good with Raider fans last year. I think that for the good of baseball, which is blossoming now again, thanks to these, you know, pace of play rules and everything else, I think a refreshing franchise and a market that is going to absolutely support them, ultimately, while it might suck for the people in Oakland, I think this is going to be a good thing for baseball.
Probably, but the frustration now is, and maybe we have more time to do this later in the show, is that the deal that they are taking, the A's in Las Vegas, is no better and probably in certain ways worse than what they could have had in Oakland.
True, except for the fact that it's Vegas.
Right, but you'd think they are leaving for baseball paradise, and they're not necessarily getting that in Vegas.
Yeah. No, when we come back, Lamar Jackson revealing the Ravens' plans in May? It's the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.